Albert was either thrown out of a car or hit by a car. He was found on the side of the road down in Cabot, Arkansas. Some really, really wonderful people thought that, you know, he was worth taking a shot at. And we brought him up on one of those pet carriers that come up with tons of animals from the South.
51 dogs, welcome to Rochester. They were brought here by the dog rescue organization, Freedom Ride Incorporated.
This is an ongoing problem. I want y'all to understand the scope of it.
The population here is 10 times the amount of animals elsewhere.
Come here, whoa! Come here, buddy.
My name is Monda Wooten. I'm from Trenton, Georgia. Here in the South, it's really sad.
People drop dogs off here all the time. We just made a mistake.
Right. And we know that you love animals. It's not about that.
Myself, I can't tell the difference in abuse and neglect.
We have people here working really hard to change that landscape. And I know we've made progress. And I hope and I pray that I'm doing the most that I can and being the most effective that I can be in my community to make the biggest difference that I can make.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio. We just watched the documentary film called Free Puppies. It's by filmmaker Samantha Wishman and Christina Thomas, and it shines a spotlight on a grassroots network of dog rescuers out of Georgia, Alabama, and Tennessee Valley, all that tri-state region, really. And these rescuers include Monda Wooten, who's here, Anne Brown and Ruth Smith. It's a true story about the heartbreak and heroism of dog rescue in America. It is out now. Go watch it. Just got written about in with a wonderful essay in the New York Times, but it's out now on all major platforms and DVD in the US and Canada. In the US, you can see it in places like iTunes, Apple, Amazon. Canada, check out iTunes, Apple. And we have filmmaker Samantha with us. How are you, Samantha?
I'm great. Thank you for having us.
Hey, great to have you on the show. And Monda, thanks for joining us.
Well, you're so welcome. Thanks for covering this. And awareness we can get out there, the better it is.
Yeah, I know. I feel like you should have a gavel in your hand when you go to those, you know, city meetings and get that. I was like, give me my dog shelter. I want my shelter.
No, actually, I have some good news about that. We're about to break ground on that. You know, we started the movie a few years ago. And so there's been a lot of progress, and this movie shed a lot of light. And so we're about to break ground. We have we've collected the money through SPLOS, which is a special purpose local optional sales tax, and we have the place. So we're now working on the budget to run it. So.
Oh, that's awesome. That is great news. Samantha, tell us a little bit about what got you started into, hey, I've got to do this film. You've got a rescue pup or two, right?
Yeah, I was helping my mom adopt a dog, and we found a little, he's a toy poodle mix, Shih Tzu mix, and he came from Mississippi, and he came up on a truck to Connecticut, and that was when I first started to really get interested in transport. I had no idea that it even was happening. I knew like Katrina and big hurricanes that there were dog rescues that would come up north, but I realized that this was ongoing and that millions of dogs had come up from the South. And I wanted to know more about it and why it was really happening. So the idea was to kind of go in reverse from the arrival of the transport and go back to where they came from. To really understand what was happening so we could help, the dogs that didn't get to make it out on rescue. So that was when I got to meet Monda and follow her and all the work that she does.
Yeah. Monda, tell us a little bit about what got you started. And suddenly, I mean, if we are an entrepreneur, you're on the city commission. I mean, you've got all these things going, but it seems like you and the other ladies are just, you know, it's nonstop for you with these dogs.
Well, it's as much as you want to do. And then there's always more to do. I told Sam the first time I talked to her, I said, are you sure you want to come here and do this? I said, it's like swimming in an endless sea of misery. But there are some victories, and you just have to celebrate those. But my son got me started when he was like 4 years old. He wanted a, and now he's 30. He wanted a little black puppy, and I'd never had a pet. And so we went to a puppy mill to buy a puppy, you know, not knowing any better. And when I got there, I noticed there was all these dogs, you know, in the crates and cages, and it just didn't look good. It didn't feel good. You know, the dogs were there basically just to reproduce. And, you know, and then we got our little dog home and fell in love with it. And I kept thinking back about, you know, what I had seen. And then I started having all this compassion for dogs. And, you know, I noticed them on the side of the road. I noticed them tied up, you know, chained to trees and stuff. And so I just wanted to help them. And so so I did. And before I knew it, my whole life was dogs. And it's been that way for years and years. And, you know, I've taken a break here and there because, I mean, you get so overwhelmed. I mean, you have to set mm-hmm. your boundaries because it can take over. It can definitely take over.
Yeah, caregivers always have to take care of themselves. You know, that is something, otherwise can't be as strong. But I mean, you have this amazing network of women going out there and going in places that, you know, listen, we travel full time across the country in parks and lands, and our GPS takes us to places where I'm like, oh, we're going to get shot. And those dogs, like they're, you know, they, you know, they're going to tell their, you know, their pet parents, hey, you can shoot them. They're trespassing. You know what I mean? And yeah. So I think it's difficult what you're doing, because I think there's a lot of people who care, but really it seems education is something that is necessary for the dogs. And that's a long-term thing that takes time. But do you feel that, Monda, when everything you do about education?
It's definitely education, because see, I can look back and I can remember when I was in that position. Before I had my little dog and fell in love with it, you know, I would drive down the road and I would, you know, we're in the rural South here, and I would see dogs chained up, and it just didn't register with me that that's horrible. Mm. And so, you know, I went through that learning process as well. And what I want to do is work with people and try to help them understand how horrible it is that a dog lives on the end of a chain. That's horrible. And, you know, an unaltered dogs, that's horrible that a dog lives like that. And, you know, that some of them live on the end of chains and just has litter after litter after litter after litter. And, you know, we see a lot of really bad stuff here, and, you know, we can't fix it all. But if we can work on it, you know, I tell people it's like a drug problem. We're never going to conquer the whole drug problem. We're never going to stamp out drugs completely. I mean, I think more people can relate to that because we've all known someone on drugs or you know, a family member, a friend, neighbor, something. And so we know it's there. And we can never stamp it out completely, but if we don't work on it continuously, mm-hmm. then you know, it'll conquer us.
Right. You know, I think this is an important thing too in regards to the education part. Is people do care. And Sam, did you see that when you were out filming the story, the human stories and the human element of this?
Yeah, absolutely. We saw. I think both to what you're both saying, I mean, most people really want to do well by their animals. I think often they don't either know how or have the capacity to do it. So some people, for example, who do want to spay and neuter their animals just don't have the money or the time, the access to be able to bring a dog to a spay neuter clinic that is affordable to them. We went to a number of these small, they're low-cost spay neuter clinics. They just do spay and neuter, and they're you know, $40, $50, which is much more affordable than a vet, which could be over $200. And they're booked out months. So there are these large areas where, you know, it'll take hours to get a dog to a low-cost spay neuter clinic, and they are overwhelmed with the demand. So there are so many people who, you know, either don't know what to do or they do know what to do, but it's still, you know, a challenge for them to be able to do it. So I think it's very rare. I think there are instances of, you know, bad people all across the country. Sure. Just definitely not something specific to the South. But I think what is something that we saw is, you know, the resources being available for people is something that I think everyone's working on, and something that Monda's working on right now with her nonprofit is focused on spay neuter transport. And I think the women are very clear that, you know, these are the ways that they can really make a long term impact in their community.
Yeah, I see a lot of dogs, these, you know, backyard breeders, and they do it for money because it's something, you know, to make money. And then you showed really clearly in the film about how a lot of, whether it's, you know, not of being able to afford or spay neuter, but there were, you know, female dogs that had been overbred that their uterus just shriveled up. Like, I mean, imagine being a human being and it's like, here, just, you know, you're in production. It's like being in, you know, in a factory, you know, it's a baby making factory of puppies, and it's
exactly what it is.
Yeah.
It is so sad. It's horrific. And that's probably one of the hardest situations I have to deal with, because, you know, if you talk to a person and you can kind of make them understand about that dog on the chain or that dog continuously to have puppies, and they're willing to accept help. But then when you run into a lot of these backyard breeders, it's all about the money, and they don't want any help. They think you're crazy. Mm-hmm. We're here in the rural South, and animals are considered property, basically.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we don't have the resources. Like, there are some state laws, but we don't have the resources for, like, the animal control, the police officers. You know, in their mind, they have bigger fish to fry, you know.
Right.
Say, and I understand that. You have to understand everybody involved. And you have to just do the best that you can to keep from getting bitter, because we fight that too. And especially with these breeders, because they don't want help for the most part. They're not going to take help.
They're the ones who will shoot you if you go down there.
This is their living, and they don't care to tell you to get off their property
Exactly.
That's really disheartening, because that's the ones you can't help.
And the animals are emotionally go through things, you know, and a lot of times the way they're breeding, the animals come out deformed, are not healthy. But I know, just as we pets said, I mean, this is not a money-making thing. This is just how we travel, and it's cool because we get to hang with animals. But majority of the animals we care for, I'd say 90% are rescue. And those dogs, each one comes with baggage and issues, and it depends on how long they've been worked with their pet parents. I mean, we've seen one dog that was kept in a crate, a German Shepherd, for the first 3 years of her life. And then 6 months later, she's in a home, and she was free to run. But if you went to throw a stick, she would take your hand, but she didn't mean to. I mean, but she had, they mated her too. And so she had puppies in this crate. I mean, that's just like, it's insane. But these animals, just like human beings, have emotional trauma as well. And then we have to all work with them. So the pet parents have learning to go through, and you have to get to the right trainer that cares and isn't really, you know. So this is this cycle of what us humans do to each other. You know what I mean?
It is. And when puppies or dogs, when they go to a shelter, that's very stressful. I mean, you wouldn't believe most shelter dogs are honor surrender. It's very sad, because people will take these dogs and they'll keep them. You know, I had a story this morning of a girl that had had a dog for 9 years. She'd had it ever since it was a puppy. And then she just went and surrendered it, and then went and bought a puppy. I know. And it's like, and this poor dog, you know, to a dog, you are their world. Mm-hmm. They live at your house with you. You know, you may come and go, and you have outside interest. You may be a part of, you know, civic clubs. You may go to the movies, go to work. You know, you have outside interest. But to that dog, you are their world.
They're loyal.
Yes. Oh. And if you come in and you spend a few minutes with that dog, I battle this with people all the time. They're like, I want to rehome my dog. I just don't feel that I have enough time for it, you know, and it deserves better. Well, let me tell you, that dog is more than happy to stay at home. They sleep 12 to 14 hours a day. They're more than happy to stay at home and wait on you to spend a few minutes with it, to meet its needs with water and food, hopefully vet care if it gets sick. It's a much happier, healthier dog in that situation than it is in a shelter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, ladies, I appreciate your work so much. You know, this film, Everyone Free Puppies, again, is out on demand and DVD. Samantha, thank you, both of you, and Christina, for doing this film. I really, you know, just as someone very connected to dogs and know the other side of what they go through, appreciate it. And when we talk about this education, I think this really shines a light, because I know it's not just in the South part of where you are, Manda, that this happens. This happens around the world. We lived in Mexico and had to rescue dogs out of a landfill, and we worked with a vet to clean them up and train them, and then we snuck them over the border.
Good for you.
We got a vet sign of approval. I don't know how legal it was, but
sometimes
we don't really
care. Sometimes you just got to take the matter into your own hands.
You got to do your thing. But I think, again, this really shines a light, and it's still very touching. So I want people to understand that. We're not here with a bunch of bad news. This movie will move you, and you just go pet your dog.
but you know what? I think this movie, it gives you hope and it inspires mm-hmm. you. I've talked to people that said, you know, I just didn't. One lady in particular, she said, I didn't even think about my dog being on the end of a chain. She lives in Alabama. Well, that's changed.
See, that's it. Bit by bit, everyone will get it. Samantha, any closing words for you before we go?
I just want to thank you for having us. We are so excited. And we, you know, talked to Manda early on when we started making this film, and she just said, I want to your first question about education. I think just want people to see things that will change how they understand their relationship with their dogs and make it, you know, easy for them to make the right choice and to know what the right choice will be. So I'm just happy that it's getting out there and that, like Manda said, people are seeing things a little bit differently after watching the film. So,
you know, and I would like to add, and cats too.
Yes.
I just may not be my animal of choice, but I work with cats too. And they're, you know, they're the same.
Yeah. Oh man. And just all animals, you know, people do. And that's the thing, I think, what the problem, and I'm really glad you did this before Christmas. Because how many people go and buy puppies, and this becomes a huge thing. And some states like California banned pet shops, you know, which I thought was really great.
Oh,
and only
wonderful.
Doing rescue, you mm-hmm. know, so that's a huge part of it. And backyard breeding, that legally, I think that's the other side of the coin, is we, as, you know, animal lovers, should really huge legislation to change some of these laws in county, state, city, to not allow backyard breeding, not allowed traps in wildlife refuges where dogs get stuck in them. It's just like foxes and everything else. And also just to stop the pet shops unless they're selling food and toys and all the fun stuff. So just say
a pet is not a gift.
Yes.
A pet is a 15-year commitment.
It is.
It's not.
And a tortoise is more than your lifetime.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, ladies, for joining us. Everyone, again, it's called Free Puppies, out now. Look on Amazon, iTunes, in the United States and Canada. And of course, keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.